Welcome back to the Daily Dots. Chase here with you, flying solo again here on Thursday, the 18th of April. Stocks down again. Let's start with that. S&P down 0.2%. The Q is down 0.57, call it 0.6. Small caps basically barely down, but after being up 1% on the day, so pretty nasty pullback intraday. Magnificent 7 down about 0.5%. Equal weight barely down. Volatility was pretty flat. Regional banks were up about 0.4, 0.6. The dollar was back up today, back up above 106, up 0.28%. Yields were up across the curve anywhere from 3 to 6 basis points, mostly on the front end. Oil down another 0.86% today after being down about 3% yesterday. So we went from about $87, $88 to about $82 in the last week. So pretty decent pullback there on oil. Gold up 0.24%. We're at $23.94 at the moment on front month futures. Bitcoin finally got a bounce today, up a little over 3.5%. NVIDIA of note, the supreme leaders, I like to call it, finally had a kind of a deep test of the 50-day moving average, which is at 839. We closed at 846. So we have survived the first test of the 50-day. But we'll see if that can kind of continue to hold. All the indices, as I think I've mentioned earlier in the week, under the 50-day moving average now, and actually by a decent amount at this point. S&P has not tested 5,000 yet, but we've come very close. We closed at 5011. So something I talked about yesterday, we have finally seen CTA selling start. Systematic strategies have about $220 billion worth of equity exposure right now. So some of that has started to come off. Obviously, if this kind of picks up some pace to the downside, all of a sudden you see all these different strategies having to sell because of their mandates. So that $220 billion could, you know, move down $100 billion rather quickly, which the market would struggle to get through and chew through. So I think you would just about automatically have some downside there. If you go back to October of last year, we had that 10% drawdown. Pretty orderly, but, you know, people got really bearish in the hole there. Just for an update on where we're at right now, the S&P is down about 4.5%. That's the drawdown. And then on the Qs, the NASDAQ 100, we're at a 5% drawdown. So we're roughly halfway to kind of what we went through last October. And that is with, as I just highlighted, systematics kind of just beginning their selling. Now, obviously, anything could happen tomorrow and you could be right back up. And you could have capped this whole thing at this 4.5% downside. But if you keep moving lower, I think the systematic selling will push us into that kind of 10% range. And then who knows where we go from there. But just looking out, you know, the next week or two, maybe month or two, that's kind of what I'm looking at and looking for. As far as the rest of the Mag 7 went, other than NVIDIA, you had Microsoft down about 1.8%, Tesla another 3.5% in that chart. Does not look good at all. Apple, we've been talking a lot about the 168 line for Apple. We did finally close beneath that. We closed at 167.04 and we're down a couple cents after hours. So the major support there for Apple is, has given way. So I think you can have that much more of a move to the downside on Apple. And I keep focusing on Apple and Tesla because they're both very much kind of not growing this year, didn't really grow much last year, just kind of, I won't say X growth, but struggling for growth. Amazon down a little over 1% today. And of note, it broke its kind of uptrend line that goes back a couple months, closed below its 33-day moving average, not down to its 50-day yet, but below the 33-day now for Amazon. So not a great look there. The darling of small caps all of last year and a chunk of this year, SMCI, down a little over 3% on the day. And that all of a sudden is getting reasonably close to well, it's under its 50-day, but getting close to a kind of a horizontal support. So a lot of these high flyers that underpin the move over the last 16 months, 18 months, are showing some weakness. I would say the only ones that have major breakdowns so far, though, Tesla and Amazon. The rest, you know, there's some breakage, but not ones that look like, you know, they're in big trouble. On the commodity side, though, people are getting, for me, a little too excited about them, and the positioning and sentiment starting to pop. But I will say, the Dow year to date is flat. Equal weight is up less than 1%. S&P is up 5%. Q's up a little over 3%. So the best you can get on an index is 5% from the S&P. And commodities are up 6.5%. So commodities now outperforming stocks on the year. I mean, oil's up 15%. Which I don't think people realize. I posted this on Twitter today, but oil is actually beating gold year to date. It doesn't feel like it, but it is, and only by like a percent. But if you were just in oil and gold, you're completely crushing equities at this point. And something I kind of noticed this week, so we're 4 days into the week, but and a lot of the last few kind of pullbacks we've had in the market, a lot of times when you look at the internals, the way the sectors are performing against each other, you can look at certain sectors versus each other to try to get an idea, is this real or is it just, you know, a little bit of noise? And that's looking for things like discretionary pulling back big time against staples, things like that. Things that may give you some look through into the actual economy and not just, whatever the trend is today in the stock market. Looking at defensives like healthcare and utilities, like if they're doing well versus things like tech. And this week, it's been kind of notable weakness on the internals. Discretionary has been crushed by staples. You've had utilities beating things like tech. So like, and it's just, like I said, just 4 days. But for once, though, on a kind of miniature pullback of, 0 to 5%, you're actually seeing some follow through on the internals. So that was something I took note of. Netflix reported earnings. This is why I stick to macro and I don't focus too heavily on things like earnings and try to project them or try to project what they're going to do. Even if I knew what the outcome was going to be for the earnings report. So I read everything that came out and by all accounts, like crushed it, way more subscribers than people thought. Earnings and revenue are both higher than people were expecting. And it's down 3.5%. So that is below 50 day, below its trend line. So an ugly looking chart all of a sudden for Netflix to go along with a lot of these other names. They did say that they were going to stop reporting subscribers next year. So my assumption is that freaks people out. But maybe there's something else deep in the details or that is actually creating the sell-off. I don't know. But again, that's why I try to do macro. That's why I instead hit my head against the wall listening to the Fed instead of whatever the Netflix COO has to say. As far as data goes today, we actually had some. Not really any tomorrow, so going to be a bit of a boring end of the week from a data side, but maybe some fireworks from the equity market. But we had Philly Fed today for manufacturing. It was the best print we've had since May of 2022, so kind of validating the recent ISM kind of surge. So manufacturing definitely starting to perk up. New orders were very strong. Prices paid, more bad news for the Fed, but prices paid is kind of like at the highest levels it's been at in the last 18 months. So that kind of just refuses to go away. On the flip side, though, worth noting, employment and the work week were especially the work week were pretty ugly in that Philly Fed report. So, despite the fact that we are bottoming out, you continue to see in that soft data at least some employment yellow flags. Something to keep an eye on. We had jobless claims today, and this is yet another very low print. So, still no significant warning signs in the labor market of anything going wrong. Now, obviously, the perma bears can tease out the data and find something every print, no matter what. But if you really take a holistic view, labor market's still clearly strong. Existing home sales we also got not good, which is not particularly surprising given where rates have moved in the last month. We had 4.19 million homes sold on an annualized basis. And just to put that in perspective, what was kind of normal before, you know, the post GFC and into 2019, 2020, before the pandemic was about 5.5 million. So you're like 1.3 million homes sold per year below where, you know, what was normal before the pandemic. So just pretty rough on a transaction basis. As far as month of supply, and that's not a perfect a metric by any means, because it takes kind of the market conditions into play. It's not just like a number of homes for sale, but that is at 3.2 months of supply right now. The 10-year average is 3.5, and we're above where we were in 2023, 2022, and 2021. So you could argue that supply has at least gotten less terrible. It's still very low. It's still bad. It still needs to come up a lot, but supply has improved a little bit. I still kind of think you get an unemployment spike of any sort, or you get rate cuts, which obviously those two will go together. That's when I think all of a sudden you would get existing kind of perking up. And despite the fact that existing is still like really pinned down, you would think that would be very, very bullish for home builders, and it might still prove to be. But as we saw this week, like starts and permits aren't that great. If you look at the home building equities, they've been selling off, and not just, you know, because the whole market has this week, but really for the last few weeks, not looking great. Now, maybe that would be a good dip buying opportunity because they kind of still have a monopoly on financing and building and building small and trying to, you know, there's a lot they can do for consumers that an existing cannot, on building something small and subsidizing interest rates and things like that. Thought that was notable, but that is really it. That's all I have for today. I think what's going to be important tomorrow is going to be keeping a very close eye on equities, and volatility for that matter. Coming into the day, options dealers were still a negative gamma, which just means, you know, if the market goes in one direction, they kind of have to go in that direction too, to stay hedged. So, I don't know where the end of the day, maybe it's a lot better off, but the fact that they might have to sell into a move lower, along with the fact that Systematic might have to sell, it just makes where we're at the moment a little precarious. So this downside could continue. If you go look at how many straight days we've had down in a row, it's a lot. It's kind of something we're not used to and we haven't seen in a while. This also, of course, coincides with everyone at the Fed all of a sudden being fairly hawkish. Although I would suggest they still have not really come that far. Now they are starting to say things like, well, if we have to hike, yeah, we have to hike, which the market doesn't appreciate and kind of spooks it. But at the same time, like Williams, Daly, at least, and Powell, like none of these people have come out and said, you know what, Matt, maybe we have it wrong. Like maybe potential growth, potential inflation are just higher than we realize. Maybe like everything changed. Like maybe running huge fiscal deficits means R-star is a lot higher, neutral rate's a lot higher. Where we're gonna have to keep the rate moving forward is a lot higher. We just haven't heard any of that. In fact, Williams came out today and said that we're back to the pre-pandemic growth trend. And I didn't, you know, read the whole thing in context. I just saw the headline of that, and I was just very confused by that. Like, because we're obviously in a post-pandemic much higher growth trend regime, and his own models show that. Like, what's weird to me is their model for potential growth and then, you know, the neutral rate, both, or RSAR, they're like diverging wildly. So their model says, oh yeah, potential growth, like that's going up a bunch, and then at the same time they're like, yeah, but like RSAR is like still going down and it's really low. I would argue both of those have been moving higher. Trend growth is clearly, I would say more like 2.5 at the moment than 1.75. And I think you could go ahead and add that same at least 75 basis points to, you know, where inflation and rates are going to have to be versus where they were before the pandemic. So I'll go back and reread that to make sure I didn't take them out of context. But just seeing the headline, I was very confused by what he said. Although I will say, some of these people have said stuff in the last 2, 3, 6 months where I'm like, there's no way that's what they meant, right? And then you go look it up, and no, that really is what they said. So we'll see what happens with double checking on what William said. But that's it for me today. I think Zach will be with you tomorrow for the normal show. Coming to you almost live out of sunny Florida. But that should be it for me for the week. So have a great weekend, and we'll see you back on Monday. Don't forget, you can download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com. Cheers.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember, investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.